Ladies and gentlemen, we present a radio program in English.
I don't like it, Adam, sir.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin.
And now, on London Taxi Radio, it's the Mick the Brit broadcast with Mick the Brit, broadcasting from a secret location south of the river. And here's your host,
Mick the Brit.
General, thank you so much.
Have found us, and we're glad you have. Welcome to the Mick the Brit broadcast. Last week, you might remember, I said at the end of the broadcast, been so busy today, I'm quite glad it's the end of it, and probably next week we'll probably have nothing to talk about. Oh, how I was wrong. So let's get to it, why don't we?
Whatever your taste, whatever your interests, there will be something for you in our programmes.
I feel that I am speaking to friends and companions.
Welcome along to the Mick the Brits broadcast. Thank you very much for downloading this and being there and sticking with us. We appreciate it, we really do. When I say we, that's me, myself and I. Because all I do is look at a wall talking into a microphone here. Well, plenty to talk about. And we are going to start with Trevor Merrills, where himself and Ange, they were guests of Sean Paul Day last week. You might have heard it. Those of you that haven't, we've just taken the Trevor Merrills interview. It's quite a long one. So we're going to intersperse it with musical notes. But first, here's Trevor Merrills.
I was at a senior reps meeting and it was said that the trade had decided that we're not going to do a judicial review, a JR, and we can't win. That was on a Wednesday, but I already knew that our legal team on the Friday were going to be putting papers in. And they did. And we were successful. We've got the judicial review. Now, UTEG launched on three things: get a judicial review into the we believe conflict between Emma Arbuthnot, and if she can't listen to the case at Brighton, what was she doing listening to the case in London and listening to the case in Reading? And we also turned in and said that the second stage would be TfL, and third bit would be Uber, and they're we've got to be careful how we word this, because I don't want to give away the strategy of our legal team, though a lot of people do think they know our strategy. But it's all it's a conspiracy talk that's out there, and we've kept our first part of the bargain. We've kept our part of the bargain. We've got the JR. Now we're going to need the troops, the men and women out there who actually do this job for a living. We're going to fund this, because this trade, it's a fact. If certain organisations that have got the most membership don't take any action, then the trade doesn't take any action. It's like, what price your job? So we've based it on £250. And once you've paid your £250, you become a full member of UTEG. So if we was to win, which we're optimistic we will, and there is compensation, then that compensation goes to full members of UTEG. It'll be obviously pro rata. I can't do the maths. We've done So that's why you have to be a full member. So the idea is that we will raise this money, we will take them to court, and we will fight them. And obviously, we've got to get after the event insurance, which hopefully the stakeholders will sort out that side of the the actual challenge and ahead of us. But that's the aim. That is the aim. Every driver, in the ideal world, we should, everyone who drives a taxi for a living should want to support UTAG. That's the ideal world. But we know the trade, and I'm not challenging people's pockets. If you can't afford it, you can't afford it. But I would say to anybody who's listening to this show, if you support UTAG or not, that's between you and your conscience. But I cannot understand, for the life of me, if you're a working cab driver, why you wouldn't support this, because this is what you do for a living. We have allowed the lines to be blurred. We have allowed to turn in this nonsense about, it's new technology, there's no law. Well, there's no law. There's no laws about loads of things. So you have to go on what the law actually states. And the law actually turns and says about flying for hire. That's what it says. It says it right now. We got to fight for what we do for a living. And that's the... I think the trade understands this now. We cannot keep putting our faith in someone to come and save us. You know, we're all grown men and women. There ain't no Father Christmas coming down to save us. We've got to save ourselves. Well, I just say to you, what happens if we lose? It's no different than what's happening to us now. They're doing our job. Private hire have entered the immediate hire. So what happens if we lose? It'll be absolutely no different to what's happening to us now, but we will know that we have got no long-term future. So before you start buying this £68,000 electric vehicle, don't, because if we was to lose, there's going to be one tier, and we'd have to start talking about, I know it's a bit harsh, but we'd have to talk about redundancies. But we're not going to lose, because at the moment, the law is on our side. I mean, obviously, the government could always change the law. Of course they could. But at the moment, they haven't. So we go, we got to be optimistic. We have got a fantastic legal team. The legal team are optimistic. You know, the QC we've got, he actually turned and told us, and Angela would judge if she was there, I want this case. This is the biggest case of the decade. His words, not mine. And it's not a criticism, it's just an observation. That's the trouble with this. A lot of people in this trade, we try to... It's like we've already lost the battle and we're trying to do a compromise. We haven't had the battle. We're trying to compromise as a trade. Why should we compromise when we're the actual gold standard? And we shouldn't be trying to make a compromise. We're the victims here, and we're acting like the ones who have got to make the compromise. No, let's have the fight. And if we was to lose the fight, then we look about what we do as the next stage. And that might well be then talking about their standards and all the rest of it. But at the moment, we haven't had that fight. Let's not talk. Let's focus on what we got to do. And as a trade, we've been guilty of it for so long. We go off on this tangent, off on that tangent. And it's no coincidence that the one that we've, our real ace in, you know, for want of a better word, and TfL gone nowhere near it, and nor have they anyone when it comes to an argument. No one wants to touch the ply fryer. Why? Not for our benefit. It's because I think they know we probably will win. Our legal team are confident we will win. And let's make no mistake about this. If we win, it's a game changer. And if you think that what they've done to us, and I'll say this, and it might not be a very socialist or trade unionist outlook, right? But this is my view on private hire. This is my view on Uber drivers. Every single one of them. You wanted to play taxi and now you don't like it. Well, don't expect me to be crying for you. When you were sitting there thinking you could do my job, you never had no consideration for me. So that's why the UCG, which is my organisation, have always had this opinion, I'll reiterate it here, that the London taxi drivers and private hire drivers, our interests are diametrically opposite.
The Mick the Brit broadcast.
I have to say, there's nothing there I disagree with. Trevor Merrills is spot on. What in that can you argue with? He's right. He's laid it out, what's happened historically. He's absolutely right. Now, take your prejudices away from personalities and what's happened in the past. This is the only chance we've got. And I don't really know Trevor Merrills. He doesn't know me. I've met him once when he came to a outside broadcast on Sean Paul Day's show at Great Russell Street. And he spoke then, but he was quite intense, shall we say. And yeah, it's going to get a bit more intense here as Trevor Merrills continues with this.
This trade is walking into denial. It's walking around in denial. Mm. They've got a temporary licence. No one in the trade was going to do anything. I'm sitting there like... I'm just a working cab driver, same as Angela's a working cab driver. You're a working cab driver. And the lovely Myrna's a working cab driver. And we're saying... We're saying, as a trade, Oh, we're not going to do nothing. Well, what do you mean we're not going to do nothing? We've got a woman here who has been proven to have a conflict of interest, and we're saying we're not going to. And you wonder why people walk all over us like a fucking door. Sorry,
that's all right.
Like a doormat, like a doormat, because. If that's going to be, well, we've got a blatant injustice here, and I'll tell you something else you want to have a look at. Her husband's interest in the contract that he's got on the underground for the signals. That's a contract of conflict of interest as well, in my opinion, a £240 million. But I might have leaked something that might come out in the legal there. Oh, you've got an exclusive. But I'll tell you something now. If this trade thinks that, we ain't going to do a JR, and then you wonder why. So we don't do a JR. So we carry on, we've all decided, we'll all go on Twitter and have an argument with one another, we'll all call one another useless and all the rest of it, and everything is really rosy in our dysfunctional family, because we're all arguing with one another on Twitter. Meanwhile, Uber have their 18-month licence, they get re-licensed for 5 years, and where do you think we're going to be in 5 years' time? As more and more of these technology, these mobile phones and this... And the lines are blurred. Because I'll tell you now, most under 25s probably don't know the difference between what is an Acne carriage and what is a private hire driver. And TfL, as the regulator, have allowed this. And TfL turned and said, TfL want to talk about those people who are not licensed. Look, the Randall is acting like air for hire light to the public. They think, you're licensed, that's a licensed vehicle. These vehicles are on display on the screen. If you're on that screen, display and availability. What you're displaying, your availability. So the trade had to make a decision. That's what UTAG was about. You know, the UCG, and it was the UCG amongst our committee. You know, we were panicking when we saw that Uber was originally not going to be relicensed. And this is, I'm sorry because I know Angela wants to say lots, but we had to have a plan B because everyone thought that was job done. And it was never going to be job done when you're talking about the people who are backing Uber with the money they've got. And then we was proved right, because TfL went to that court case as a neutral observer. How can you be neutral when you're the regulator?
No, you can't.
You cannot be neutral. So we had a plan B. We said we'd never have to do it. And we'd been talking to these lawyers and we were ready. And, I believe that everyone should want to contribute to this. That, of course I would believe that, because I would contribute to it. Even if I wasn't involved in any trade organisation, I'm a working taxi driver, I want to defend my job. We have met the trade, the so-called trade, the we met the LTDA, they've met our legal team. Obviously, we wouldn't discuss the legal strategy with them, or the legal opinion with them, but they've took away the decision. Are they going to support UTAG? I don't know. Are they going to give any financial? I don't know. They now talk about all that, it's like any insurance, like after the event insurance. So you're going to insure yourself for X amount of pounds. Now, if you was to lose, say you insured yourself for, £800,000, and you lose, and it comes to £830,000, there's £30,000 you're not insured for. But that's a decision, isn't it? Because they could come to all 24,000 of us cab drivers, is the case. But what happens if we win?
Yeah.
What happens if we win? But no one wants to talk about that because this trade is so used to losing.
It is. Yeah,
or
that's
it
right.
looks to lose. Are there people in our trade? I said earlier on when I was wearing my UCG head, are there people failing to engage or engage in TfL? Is there some sort of... Have we lost the appetite for the fight? Has the vast majority of the trade been explained what the fight is? And that's what UTAG have got to do. Got to explain. Because I think when we start hitting the ranks with our leaflets and people see every cab driver sitting there, we'll go, yeah, that's right. That's what I've done. That's what I've done the knowledge for. That's what I've done. But as I said, it was a bit delayed because it took a lot longer than we ever envisaged. And Angela's got the patience of a saint. Me, I'm a bit more hot-headed, as you could obviously hear, and she'll tell you what we've had to do.
The Mick the Brit podcast.
Again, you can hear the frustration and the passion from Trevor Merrill speaking right there. He's absolutely right. There's none of that I can disagree with. What can you disagree with? What he's just said there. And here is somebody that is frustrated, that is passionate, which is what we need. And we're going to be hearing from the delightful Ange after we've heard this.
Hi, everybody. This is Joe Lewis. Myself and John Cox have been working hard in our studio, writing and recording our brand new single, Christmas Just Ain't Christmas Without You. And we are thrilled to say that it will now be available from Monday, the 26th of November, 2018, although it is available to pre-order on iTunes from Monday the 19th. So go on, order your copy and stick it in your stocking for Christmas. It's a cracker, and we guarantee that you'll be humming it all over the holidays. And I don't know about you, but having a Christmas single in the stores, it's a little bit funny, this feeling inside. Thank you so much for your support. Have a great Christmas and a wonderful New Year. Walk in the park, the
bells they ring up in the This is brand new. This is a track from an album called UK Soul Chart, brand new for 2018. It's in the so-called shops now. This is Regina Troop and Friday Nights. Just Regina Troop and Friday Night, and that you will find on a soul compilation, a brand new soul compilation called UK Soul Chart. Now we go over to the demure compared with Trevor. Ange.
All we're asking the trade to do, the only sacrifice they've got to do is give us 250 quid towards it. It's an extra shift, not an extra shift a week or a month. It's maybe an extra shift in a year. And if we get enough, we can do this. The very first meeting with the QC, when, I'll give you a bit of flesh on the bones. This started when Uber was refused a license on the 22nd. We knew that he could have revoked with immediate effect. He didn't. He bottled it and take the decision. So we wrote to Khan after the decision letter had been released in November. You know, the 22-page letter with all the reasons, the infractions, the coaching fall through the regs. So we wrote to him, had a word with Trevor, and we said, let's write to Khan with pointed questions why he didn't revoke with immediate effect. He could have done on this and that. We sent that letter, and naturally we didn't get a reply from Khan or from anyone until March, some 4 months later.
That's right.
The reply was in the form of an email, not from Khan, not from City Hall, from a guy with the title of, I think it's Senior Stakeholder Relations Manager, Dan Maskell. And what he said is, oh, sorry for the delay. You know, I've been passed this to, what do you mean, it's been passed down and down to me to answer. And he said, at the moment, we are minded to think that Uber are not in breach of any regulations and they are working within the regs. He then went on to say, and we are awaiting clarification of their booking process, whether it's, you know, in breach of any regs. We are awaiting clarification. Then he said, then he put something.
Should have been the condition of their license,
absolutely,
shouldn't it?
Absolutely. But then he put something that I don't think he should really have put. He put, and by the way, TfL have no intention of prosecuting anyone, any driver who continues to take bookings direct from their phone. And that was it. So I said to Trev, this is nuts on so many levels. It's nuts. But about the clarification, in July and August 17, TfL employed Deloitte to look into the Uber model, and Deloitte came back, and TfL released that bit. That Deloitte came back and said, in their opinion, after doing their 2 months investigations, the Uber booking process is in breach of the 1998 regs, and the drivers are applying for hire. But then, all of a sudden, we're still awaiting clarification. And what the clarification they're waiting for is to go to someone else who hopefully, eventually, after they've been to 10 people, the 11th may say, do you know what, we think Uber are... And then they say,
grey area,
oh, that's it. Yeah, everything's... Yeah, when we read it, I said to Trevor, this is so outrageous. We've got to get legal advice. We must, and see what we can do. So we went to the UCG solicitor, Darren, and he asked us to send him certain documents and emails, which we did. He took it to our barrister at Pump Court, and he had a chance meeting there with Robert Griffiths, the QC, and he just ran a few things past him. Now, Robert Griffiths is I think in court, it's something like 10 grand a day to engage him, so he's a top silk. And he said, I'm interested in this. Ask the people to come in. I will give them half an hour of my time for free. So we went to see him, and he actually gave us about 3.5 hours, didn't he, Trev?
And he remembered to cut. What was is that Angela, sorry, dude. Angela, our lawyer, Darren, was going to go and see the barrister, the licensing barrister at Pump Court, which is Stuart Jessop. And it just happened to be while he was talking that Robert Griffiths, the QC, is listening. And he went, ooh, and it pricked up because he's... And that's when... And then, of course, you continue. We had 3 hours with him.
Yeah, we had 3.5 hours. He said, look, if I didn't think you had a case, I really wouldn't tell you to waste your money. I mean, let's face it, because it will be great for his CV as well if he can win a case like this, which he said to us will be the biggest case of the decade, this biggest case in 10 years. And he had done a lot of research prior to our meeting, first meeting in May. When we walked in, he had loaded documents, case laws, all sorts open, with lots of markers in his paper, and he was reeling off, and he said, "This is virtual hire over the internet." That was his words. And he said, "TFL are wrong on so many counts." And then he said, "Look, you've got to take them on now, because if you don't, they will rule you forever, however they like, whether it's within the law or without, outside the law. You've got to take this on. We can win this." And he asked us to send him a bundle of any documentation we have. It took about 6 weeks or so, didn't it, Trev, to... And Trev did a long statement.
All about applying for hire, of course.
About applying for hire.
And
so we sent them a 160-page bundle. Then he invited us back in, and he said, "This is winnable. TFL, they are in breach of statutory rights." And he said that you also have a statutory monopoly. He said, "A statutory monopoly is allowed if you have certain skills that other..." Said, "You have a statutory monopoly, and TFL are giving this away."
The Mick the Brit Podcast.
"The last time we talked, Mr. Smith, you reduced me to tears. I promise you it won't happen again."
"Do I attract you? Do I repulse you with my queasy smile? Am I too dirty? Am I too flirty? Do I like what you like? I could be wholesome, I could be loathsome, guess I'm a little bit shy. Why don't you like me? Why don't you like me without making me try? I try to be like Grace Kelly, but all her looks were too sad. Tried a little Freddy. I've got an entity mind.
And Grace Kelly.
The Mick the Brit Podcast.
Well, we just heard from Angie. Hot Wax Angie there. She doesn't sound like a Hot Wax Angie, but there you go. Very analytical approach there compared with Trevor Merrill's. And what I mean by that, of course, is that she just laid out, putting the nuts and bolts on it, of where we've come from and where we are, and the backstory of the legal opinion. And now let's get back to Trevor Merrill's and Sean Paul Day.
a naivete, you know, because he's the legal expert. I said, but of course, the UCG stroke UTEG, because UTEG was in the process of being formed, we wasn't an entity when this was, you know, and I said we wasn't part of the interested parties. And he used the words of, you're taxi drivers. You're the most interested parties out of everybody. And so we're going to... And he was true to his word. Mm. Angela touched on about the stakeholders there, because, I mean, it's come to more than £18,000, because you've also got the legal from the lawyer as well. So it's come to that. But we had to go and speak to some stakeholders, and that's not my natural audience. You know what I am. I don't pretend I'm anything I'm not. What you see is what you get. But they listened. They listened. And, you know, I remember sending them. I said, look, if I'm going down, you're coming with me. Because then all of a sudden it was like, what do we do? And, you know, and I can't thank these stakeholders enough. And irrespective of what happens with UTEG, and I mean, when they decide they want to be in the public domain, I will always thank them. Because they actually understood the fact that we're all in this together. We're all going to have a go walking. We're at the moment, well, not now because UTEG's been launched, but prior to that, we were like the... We're marching to the edge of the cliff and we're someone singing We Shall Overcome. You know, that was our strategy.
Yeah.
And don't worry, or jam tomorrow, don't worry. I've got everything sorted out. In 6 months' time, this is going to happen. And then 9 months after that, well, we've got to start taking control for ourselves. This is what UTEG was all about. And, you know, it's probably going to be the most difficult thing I've ever attempted or Angela's ever attempted in life. Because we've got to get, you know what cab drivers are like. And you're always going to be those who are trying to look a reason not to. Because they always see the sinister side of something. Well, how about this? Maybe the real reason, this is the real reason, is because I want a job. She wants a job. That's the only reason out of UTEG. So you can spend all your time coming up with all these conspiracies. Oh, it's all about this. They want to look after themselves. They want to do that. Nothing is further from the truth. Nothing is further from the truth. This should be... I can't say, you know, there's some people on Twitter are more vociferous than others and they want to make a name for themselves. Don't want to support UTEG, fair enough. But a lot of them need to have a real good look at themselves in the mirror. Because this is not about what you think of me or what you think of Angela or what you think of UCG or what you think of Sean Paul Day or what you think of anyone else. Right? This is about what you have to do to put food on your family's table and a roof over your head. And if you don't think your trade is worth it, then I can't, there ain't nothing I can ever say to you. And I'm not looking to have any argument with any cab driver. You don't want to support it. That's between you and your conscience. But don't expect to get in a debate with me because I don't want to argue with you. And we'll have it, you know, in the future. Because I believe this. I've got 100% faith in this trade. You know, this trade does so much. Look at it the other week. Look at the way TFL. And, you know, that is this all about poppy cabs. That's a UCG initiative as well. Let's look at that. We get treated like that. Let's be honest with one another. The Union Jack Club have got that phone for minicabs. All year round, they don't want to know us, right? Let's be honest, but come that day, what do? We do what's right because they're veterans, and quite rightly so, and we're proud of that. We take the kids to the Disney trips, you know, and I'm not, and it's fantastic. We do so much. But when are we going to start doing something for ourselves? Because no one, surely after 6 years now, we know that we haven't got many friends, no fairy godmothers come over and waving a magic wand, leave our taxis alone. Oh, yeah. We're in this fight on our own, and the only people who understand it is fellow cab drivers and our families and stakeholders.
If I can make something clear, Sean, Trevor and I are the named directors. Right, we had to have a legal entity. The legal team rang us up and said, are the UCG a legal entity? Are they a limited company? But we're not now, we are a mutual. So they said, okay, well, we need a legal entity, A, to instruct us, and more importantly, if and more likely when damages are won by UTEG, they will need to go to this legal entity for onward trans. And when they do, come that day, please God, there won't be a 40% rake off for us. The only people that will have a rake off of any damages is the HMRC. That's out of our control. We don't take one penny. And also, Trevor and I have got a great team behind us doing the PR, the leaflets, running the feed. And we put hours and hours and hours into this.
Not one person has claimed a penny.
Asked for or will claim one penny.
We're doing meetings. We're doing meetings at hotels at 7:30 at night and not leaving there till 10 o'clock. I mean, Angela would tell you, sometimes my average week, I'm not exaggerating, I have about 4 hours sleep a day, don't I? And then it's full on. So we're not in it for glory. All I want out of it, and I know Angela feels exactly the same, you know, we want our job. Angela's got two boys in the trade, right? And they're both in their late 20s, early 30s. So it's about their next 30 years. It's not about our next 30 months. So we're doing it for the job, the TFL. But every cab driver knows what TFL is about. They have let this trade down badly. They've let Londoners down badly. That's what they've done. They are custodians. That's all they are.
They should be enforced in the 1998. A minute goes past before, you know, without someone being told that they're in breach of putting the sticker in their cab. You know, they've got the wrong colour carpets in their cab.
That's right. And, you know, but you have got law on your side. And the law is, until they change the law, Sean, the law is about applying. Well, and I know that this law was before the ABS. But it doesn't matter. It's still the spirit of the law. They can't say what's going to happen in 20... When people turn to say Rose versus Welbeck, it's got nothing to do with... because of the apps. Well, that's like talking nonsense. It's display and availability. You're displaying on that app, and you're displaying your availability. In fact, it's more blatant than what Welbeck Motors done. But it's nothing new. Private hire industry have always used technology. Always have, you know, whether it be walkie-talkies, telephones, and now it happens to be the mobile phone. They're always using technology to come into a market, which is our market, the immediate hire market.
The Mick the Brit podcast.
Was that you interrupting there, Sean?
Yeah.
Thought so. All right, back to UK Soul, the new album out from DSG Records. This is Kenny Thomas and Your Love.
So spiritual, yeah. Supernatural, yeah. It's incredible the way you got me feeling. Came into my life and turn it right around. I'm so grateful for those things right now. I know, is it any wonder? Your spell, you got me under. Right now, I'm standing.
Makes me happy. You love.
Kenny Thomas, Your Love. You'll find that on UK Soul Chart, a new compilation that is out in the shops, shall we say. Produced by Gary Vanderbush. Thank you very much. On DSG Records.
Hi everybody, this is Joe Lewis. Myself and John Cox have been working hard in our studio, writing and recording our brand new single, Christmas Just Ain't Christmas Without You. And we are thrilled to say that it will now be available from Monday the 26th of November 2018, although it is available to pre-order on iTunes from Monday the 19th. So go on, order your copy and stick it in your stocking for Christmas. It's a cracker. And we guarantee that you'll be humming it all over the holidays. And I don't know about you, but having a Christmas single in the stores, it's a little bit funny, this feeling inside. Thank you so much for your support. Have a great Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
Walk in the park, the bells, they ring up in the...
Right, let's get back to the concluding part of Sean Paul's Day interview with Trevor Merrills and Angie Hotwax.
Quote Robert Griffiths QC, who I believe is going to be an hero to this trade, because the trade have got to get to meet him yet, and he is a bit, how do you put it, he's a bit boisterous, I've got to tell you. Pull his punches with you. You know, he's got a bit of a... But we want that. We'd rather someone who's actually tells us when we're talking crap and don't play lip service to us. But I'll tell you, to quote him, right, the drivers are the prostitute, Uber's the pimp. The act is the pimp. Let's go for it.
Could I just say, for anyone who's not following us, could they either follow us on @utag17 on Twitter or on our website, which is www.unitedtradeactiongroup.com. They can see all the FAQs, which are constantly updated, and the donate button is now live. They can also register, and as Trev said earlier on, all people that paid the £250 will become members and entitled to any damages that are eventually. And I just want to thank you for giving us the time to put our side across, and for Myrna for putting up with us.
The Mick the Brit Podcast.
Thank you very much, Sean Paul Day, for allowing me to use this interview with Trevor Merrills and Angie Hotwax. Putting the meat on the bones, I'm giving you the details there of how you can donate. Unlike the other action, where they're going to be taking 40% perhaps, and then we might come up short or we might lose, I'm hearing that not so many drivers have entered that now that they've found that the fine print where all the costs are not insured. In other words, the drivers, if losing, will have to come up with the rest of the money for the legal litigation. However, this one, oh yes, you become a full member, £250, and any compensation that comes, yep, if you're a full member, you get your full entitlement to that, of course. And of course, it's Transport for London that's at fault here. It's Transport for London that have allowed this to go on. It's Transport for London that's going to be in the dock. So well done, Trevor Merrills and UCG. It doesn't matter what group it is. So please forget about your lanyards. After all, we are all individual cab drivers under one banner you want to be under. But at the end of the day, you're still individual cab drivers making up that lanyard. If you're not, or you're not in anything, then please donate, please go in there. As Trevor said earlier on, it doesn't have to be, you know, he appreciates if you can't give £250. You can do it, I presume, by weekly instalments. So it doesn't have to be a one-off payment of £250, but if you can, fantastic. And I've also noticed there are people that are not in the taxi trade at all, but want to fight for us, and they have donated. So now's the time, gentlemen. Now is, and ladies, now is the time. Let's do this. Final track from UK Soul Chart, brand new.
Don't think it's ever felt so right.
Spending time together as the sun becomes the moon. It's a brand new kind of right when I'm in your arms. A different shining light, the perfect song. It's a whole new kind of right when I see you smile. A golden touch I haven't felt since God knows when. So let me be the lucky one. I made some bad mistakes before, but I won't make the same mistakes with you. It's a brand new kind of right when I'm in your arms. A different shining light, the perfect song. It's a whole new kind of right when I see you smile. A golden touch I haven't felt since God knows when. It's a brand new kind of right when I'm in your arms. A different shining light, the perfect song. It's a whole new kind of right when I see you smile. A golden touch I haven't felt since God knows when.
Featuring Bosch Rasham and All Right, and you'll find that on UK Soul. Excuse me.
The Mick the Brit podcast.
Sorry about that. I had to take a call, and unfortunately, it wasn't Myrna.
Once they all got electric, and them electric fucking things, you got like £3 a minute or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I mean...
Then you're going to be fucked.
Already at the airport, they're charging more out there. Well, I think they're the biggest ice charge in Europe.
You want the airport, do you?
No.
I gave it... You know when I gave the airport up?
When the Wright brothers
started
When they started charging to go into the car park.
Oh, 50p, that was, yeah. I was doing the knowledge then.
I bought two tickets.
Yeah.
Used one, and one I kept as a suit. I don't know what happened to it. It's the only time I got my I got my collar felt there. I had to go many years ago at Uxbridge, picking up on the three or the one. Got nicked. £15 it cost me, I remember.
Yeah. I got done there. The kids are from, I was at Terminal.
A wooden top.
Terminal 2.
Wooden top, you remember?
Yeah. Terminal 2. The kids just come up with a suitcase and all that. He said,
Stafford Hotel.
Boxer Street.
Oh, yeah.
Stafford Street.
What's the one
in Oxford?
No, the one in Maryland Lane.
It's on Oxford Street.
Yeah, the Stafford is a Barclay now, isn't it? They call it.
Anyway, that's what he says. I said, okay. Then I see the copper coming along.
Berkshire.
So I said, it's a copper, right? Tell me you're going to Terminal 1. So he said, what, Terminal 1? I said, yeah, Terminal 1. He said, yeah, all right. Anyway, made me be like a water copper. I said, it's all right, mate, he's only got Terminal 1. Don't want to pull one on the ring. To Bob Deere, one of Nightmares. And he said, where are you going to, sir? He said, if you're Oxford Street, you can't.
So he dropped you in it then?
Well, it's grueling, isn't it? Yeah.
I'll show you something.
Look at that. Oh, blimey, no. This is before the green ones.
Look at that, no.
So let's open it. Right, this is a bill from Man and Over in Wandsworth, place where I bought my first cab, August 1968. And this is what, for a new cab?
Yeah.
So you bought a brand new FX4 diesel taxi cab, 1968 model, Scotland Yard specifications, fitted with a synchro mesh manual gearbox.
Before
you start,
changing the manual gearbox.
I bought one in 64.
Yeah.
For 820 odd quid.
Well, for
free, free deposit, £333, free shillings and threepence.
Well, I was dirty
deposit,
enough.
And I paid £2 for a petrol cap.
Bloody well.
I was on Mountview 40 years.
So how much was it then? In 1964?
Well, what are you saying? It went up £400.
It went up £400.
The time I bought my new
1968, the cost of a brand new cab, you had to wear black then.
We're reminiscing. You got the reminiscing.
Did you have to wear black then?
No. Yeah.
Black. You could only have black.
Oh, yeah. black.
You can have any colour as long as it's black.
The first colour was Major. The Major. He had a red one, didn't he? 8:30
was it. Yeah, the Major. You used to throw sweets for a fucking sweet, yeah. You know what? I went into... He used to eat in Victoria, in Eccles, Elizabeth Street.
Can I take a photograph?
There's a restaurant there. And, yeah, you can do what you like.
That's very
anyway,
kind, because...
And he used to...
I would take a photo. Oh, maybe. I don't know.
One day I went in there, said he passed away. He lived in Kingsbury, he lived somewhere.
I know you're ready.
I walk in. I can see him there. Now,
he moved to Fletcher Welsh, didn't he?
He used to... It's not like the day. He used to help everybody out there, man.
He used to help everybody out.
Has he got a registration model in number?
Yeah. My one was CTC 445B.
CLK 167. I bought that. I worked for Geese and Percy Jesper. 200 quid I went. And after I worked for him for a time, then I bought the cab. And then I sold it to, Long Lane, Bermondsey, when I sold it. I was buying all cabs up.
Yeah.
And I got about 150 quid for it, I think. But I didn't go much until 61 I got out. I worked for somebody, I didn't buy my first cab till then. Yeah, 7 years. The journey.
The Mick the Brit Podcast.
Thank you very much, the chaps at the cab shelter. Couple of old boys talking there. And me doing an impression of a cab driver in a shelter.
Hi everybody, this is Joe Lewis. Myself and John Cox have been working hard in our studio, writing and recording our brand new single, Christmas Just Ain't Christmas Without You. And we are thrilled to say that it will now be available from Monday, the 26th of November, 2018. Although it is available to pre-order on iTunes from Monday the 19th. So go on, order your copy and stick it in your stocking for Christmas. It's a cracker. And we guarantee that you'll be humming it all over the holidays. And I don't know about you, but having a Christmas single in the stores, it's a little bit funny, this feeling inside. Thank you so much for your support. Have a great Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
Walk in the park, the bells, they ring up in the spot. Thank you.
that I couldn't change, and I was lost, oh yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, Coldplay and In My Place.
To this police station and this crime wave. Well, it's the broken window syndrome, isn't it? Once you let one little thing go, these people take a mile when they shouldn't even be allowed to take an inch. It's the same with Uber. People keep on saying, well, they made mistakes. They didn't make any mistakes. They knew exactly what they were doing. And I bet you, you could have knocked them over with a feather when TfL, right at the beginning, licensed what's turned out to be an illegal operating method, and all that from the King of Canvey Island, John Mason, somebody else's old mate, all right, about, well, the Queen's head's on every banknote, but she doesn't sign them all. Who does he think he is? He was a director. He met them a year before they were licensed, and he still licensed them without questioning their modus operandi. So he's got a lot to answer for. And if we want him and TfL to answer for it, you need to put into the action. Because you won't get it otherwise. You want them on the rack.
Paul, totally agree with you, mate, about the King of Canvey Island. Keeps coming up and saying, I mean, he's always said, wasn't me that signed it. Yeah, wasn't I didn't sign their licence. But at the end of the day, as you say, he was the director of taxi and private hire. So surely his staff's actions are his responsibility and the buck stops with him. So you can't rely on the fact that he didn't personally sign the licence. He allowed the licence to be signed by a member of his staff, and knowing that they didn't meet the criteria at all. They didn't meet the criteria. And the fact about Uber, you know, making mistakes, they don't make mistakes, they know exactly what they're doing. They're a disruptive technology, or so-called disruptive technology. And if they didn't want changes in the regulations, then why do they need to employ people to lobby governments for change?
I know it's going back a bit, this, but Taxi Point, yes, definitely are a mouthpiece for the LTDA, because I've heard a recording by the LTDA saying they would use Taxi Point to get their message across. So there you go. If everybody has a price, theirs is that cheap, they're free. This is an interesting one, isn't it? Because I guess my mindset is that's the £240, and I'm not pledging it. It is a cost that has to go, and I guess that's my mindset, because I think we set ourselves up for disappointment, don't we? Or our expectation gets a bit askew, doesn't it, if we think, oh, we was getting it back and we wasn't. So it is a question that needs clearing up. I just think £240, there's got to be expenditure along the way. I mean, because what would they do it on? I mean, fresh air, I don't know. And even the lawyers, I don't know what's needed along the way. You're going to need paraphernalia and things like that, aren't you? And I don't know what is separated between pledges and what is money, kind of sustainable money, to keep them. Because it is going to cost money. And in my head, anyway, my mindset is to go £240. It's a bit like borrowing or giving, isn't it? It's better to give because, you know, the repercussions, all the mindset that comes with borrowing and expecting it back, or expecting kind of your money's worth. And I think maybe that you've got to go as, I mean, the money that's owed, I mean, it has been paid out for the jail, they've secured the jail, but that's now got to be paid for. So I think if any money went in now, and I know they need capital as opposed to a fiver a week, and if you want to safeguard something, I guess it's a fiver a week, but, you know, to pay for that initiation and whatever, and crack on, then they need the capital. But I would just, in my head, and I don't know about anybody else, I think it's something I go,
It's all going to be needed, I'm sure. Absolutely all going to be needed. But, yeah, worth knowing.
You're absolutely right there, Sean. I mean, that's my attitude. It's a last chance saloon anyway. We're circling the wagons. If we can't get TfL in court and hold someone to account for what they've done to this trade and what they're continuing to do to this trade, the cabs will continue to drop. There'll be less and less of us. There's already less and less of us doing the knowledge anyway. And then you've got the councils on top of that restricting our trade. So, you know, it's last chance saloon. So I've written the money off, and it will get used as it goes along, because, I mean, it's being paid as it goes along. I can only commit to 25 weeks of £10 a week. But, you know, I want it done. If I had the money, you could have it tomorrow, but I ain't got it. And that's how dire the situation is. And I'm not the only other driver in that position. You know, I'm not in a position where I can just, you know, put my hand in my pocket and pull up 2.5 as much as I'd love to. I can't be the only driver who's living hand to mouth. So even though that's my position, I'm not looking to get the money back. I know it will go on pencils and papers and, you know, taxi fares. So in some sense, a small portion of it will come back into the trade, because no lawyer ever pays for their own fare. That's why they always get a receipt, isn't it? Because the client's playing. And this time, we're the client. And, you know, just write it off. Get in there and don't go in there with a defeatist attitude. We've got to go in there looking to win this case, because if we don't, we're done.
As somebody once said, don't get angry, get even. And this might be a way. I'm sick of it.
That's right.
Same as everyone else. Being held in contempt by TfL. The half-truths, the bogus statistics, the nonsense that they spout. And even worse in my view, lower than a snake's belly, is that mob at Woodfield Road. Collaborators, Quislings, Judases, you can call them any name you like. But I'm not angry. I'm going to get them exposed for what they are. And all that mob, well, I pay my £12 a month and that's it. That's as far as they go for fighting for the cab trade. You know, and they're contemptible as well, most of those cab drivers. So let's be clear. Let's hold those people in contempt too. All those people who are not prepared to stand up for themselves. I know it's difficult for individual orgs to contribute to this, because I'm not that the UTA people actually want that. But there we are. But let's make sure that we get this into court. Win or lose.
That's right.
You agree with that then, Sean?
That's right.
Thank you very much for this week's LTR VOC. A longer one this week, but quite a lot to talk about there and focus on. Wish we had other alternative voices on this LTR VOC. If you want to join, it's, well, on Twitter, at MickTheBrit, DM me with your phone number and we'll put you in. Here's Flash in the Pan and Waiting for a Train. Another team. Flash and the Pan, Waiting for a Train, which I seem to do a lot at Paddington Station.
The Mick the Brit Podcast.
Cher was still number one, however, George Michael had the number one album. George Michael with the number one album, Ladies and Gentlemen. Number one 20 years ago with the album. Cher was still number one, of course, so that's why we've played that.
Hi, everybody. This is Joe Lewis. Myself and John Cox have been working hard in our studio, writing and recording our brand new single, Christmas Just Ain't Christmas Without You. And we are thrilled to say that it will now be available from Monday, the 26th of November, 2018. Although it is available to pre-order on iTunes from Monday the 19th. So go on, order your copy and stick it in your stocking for Christmas. It's a cracker, and we guarantee that you'll be humming it all over the holidays. And I don't know about you, but having a Christmas single in the stores, it's a little bit funny, this feeling inside. Thank you so much for your support. Have a great Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
Walk in the park.
Robin Beck, 30 years ago with the number one song. The First Time.
First time, first flows with the very first kiss. Like a break in the clouds in the first ray of sun, I can feel it inside. Something new has begun. Yet so incredibly real. It's a non-judged sleep, it's a non-open door, but you gotta reach out and you gotta explore. Even though you're not sure till the moment arrives, there he is, and you know you're in love for the very first time. For the very first time. And baby,
Robin Beck, The Very First Time, number one 30 years ago, and the end of a very long summer, as the long hot summer of 1978 finally finished, and Summer Nights was displaced by this, the Boomtown Rats.
Time for the young bright lights. Just down past the gas rush by the meat factory door, the Five Lamb boys were coming on strong. The Saturday night city beat had already started, and the pulse of the corner boy just sprang into action. And young Billy watching under the yellow street lights and said, tonight,
up all night, it's gonna be a flight night.
Said. Traps have been sprung long before he was born.
He said.
Hold fast the dust behind all the closed doors. And pus and grime ooze from its scat-busted sword.
Screaming and crying in the high-rise block. It's a rat trap, Billy, but you're already caught.
Hey, you can make it if you wanna, or you need it bad enough.
You're young and good-looking, and you're acting kind of dumb anyway. It's Saturday night, time to see what's going on.
Head for the right side of town.
It's only 8 o'clock, but you're already bored. You don't know what it is, but there's gotta be more. You better find a way out. Hey, kick down that door. It's a rat trap, and you've been caught. Everybody says you gotta follow me.
let you rain. You push in that button and that button goes a lane. If you want to walk, walk to walk. Talk to talk, talk to talk. Walk to walk, walk to walk. Talk to talk, talk to talk.
Work in film factory.
Work all the hours God gave me. Give myself a little easy movement.
Her mind's made up. She walks down the road. Her hands in her pocket, coat button against the cold. She finally finds Billy down at the Italian cafe. When he's drunk, it's hard to understand why Billy stands. But then he mumbles in his coffee and he suddenly roars. And we've been
the Boomtown Rats and Rat Trap, number one 40 years ago. Well, that is it. A long-ass broadcast this week. Thank you very much for bearing with us all this way. And, of course, thank you for downloading, looking for us and finding us and downloading us. If you want to get in touch, you can on Twitter, at Mick the Brit. And don't forget to check out londontaxiradio.co.uk. And I'm looking forward to seeing you on London Bridge. Remember the message, where buses go, we go. It's that simple. A clear message. We're not demanding money or anything like that. We just want to go where buses go as part of London's integrated transportation system. All right. Have yourself a great week and we look forward to seeing you out there on the mean streets of London demoing every day. Come on, let's do it.
Good night and good luck to you all.